Hi, my name is Judah. I'd love to welcome you to Crowded House Family Church. And I just want to welcome you to the special recording that we have with Jaco Erasmus joining us all the way from Swakopmund. Came to come and visit us. And please open up your heart as you listen to it. And if you're around the Windhoek area, please come and visit us. Bless you. Bye-bye.
You whitewashed tombs. Clean on the outside, but dirty on the inside. Why did he say that? He says, you do all the right things. You obey every law. You pay tithe to the smallest things. You don't miss anything. But your hearts are so far from me. Your hearts aren't surrendered to me. So much so that you can't even see me. And I believe we're sitting in a generation where people identify as many things, and we think that's crazy. But what do I identify as in my heart sometimes? The lie that I've been told my whole life. And I start to identify as that lie rather than a child of Christ who's made me a new creation. And start to live in a way that glorify God no matter what I do. And I was saying to Lloyd earlier, the scary thing is when I want to know someone, I ask them, what do you do for a living? As if that's what you are. So if I quit my job and do something else, am I now a different person? That's not who I am. What I do, who I'm married to, how many children I have, that's not who I am. Those things can change. The Lord gives and He takes away. But that which He did within me, that is who I am. And so even though I have to fight these fears still, even till today, to be honest, like this morning, I was sitting here thinking, oh, Lord, just be with me, please. Because I've got nothing to give you. Jaco, as a person, I've got nothing to give you. If the Holy Spirit doesn't work through me, I've got nothing to give you. I can give you knowledge or insight or whatever. But the things that we cannot change is your hearts. And so only a surrendered heart to Christ can be changed by Him. And you know, in ministry, we sometimes long breakthrough for people more than they want it. You think like, how? Don't you want to be free? Don't you want to experience the delight of the Lord? His love and His acceptance. No matter what you do, but who you are, He bought you. And it's when we come to the Word of God that He cuts, right? In Hebrews 4:12, He says, for the word of God is a living and active, is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And that's a scary thing. Is I hear this so often. I don't know if you guys have heard this, where people say, no, God knows my heart. I'm like, that's not a cool thing to say. Like, that's not a comforting thing to me, because He knows my heart. So even the good things I do for Him, He knows if there was something that was an element of, look at me, you know. Scary place to be, that we think that God knows my heart. And that is a beautiful thing, but a very scary thing. Because when the truth comes, and this is where I want to go with us this morning, is that when you recognize there's a lie in your life, when truth comes, there's freedom, right? John 8:32, He says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So when I start to listen to the Lord and He speaks truth into my heart, that who I am, who I really am, into those lies, into those anxious thoughts, into that insecurities, when His word comes, either through the written word or the spoken word, there's clarity that comes, and I can go, Lord, I want to align with what You say of me. And then I can become who He's destined me to be. And the funny thing is, like all these things that you go through, all those things that shape this false identity is the very things He uses when you find your true identity to set others free. Have you thought of that? Like everything you've gone through in your life is not for you. It's to shape character in you, yes. but it is to shape others by the word of your testimony. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they didn't love their lives even unto death. Oh, Lord, help us to fear you more than people or whatever it might be for you. Because so often our fears rule what we do. I want to go there. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 to 5. And I know you've heard the scripture so many times, but I want you to look at it in a different way. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Now, I want you to just put that scripture for a moment into a perspective that there's something that you believe about yourself. A lie, a thought, a certain way of thinking that comes into your life, comes into your mind, comes into your heart. And I want you to address it in this way. It's a stronghold. The greatest stronghold in my life is a fear of failing, that I'm not good enough. And so when those thoughts come, what must I do with them? I think we koester. What is that in English? Embrace certain ways of thinking. It's so familiar that it almost seems comfortable. Have you ever thought of finding comfort in your sin? Well, that's actually what it is. But you find comfort in thinking, oh, yeah, I'm just not that good enough. I'm not good enough. But it's such a familiar thought that even those things keep us in a stronghold. So when we think of it in this way, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Have you in your life, when the enemy comes and whispers that lie, whatever it might be for you, do you entertain it? Do you start to sulk? Is that the right word? You sort of just go self-pity. Or do you go, no, that's not my name. I used to be like that, yes. But that's not who I am anymore. Do you approach even those thoughts and heart's positions the way that you approach sin? It says, flee the enemy. Resist him and he will flee. Do we resist him when the enemy starts to speak into our minds? Or is it a free flow for all to just speak into us? In Jeremiah 1:5, just two scriptures on there. And I want you to see this. Before you did anything, before you were anything, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. It's not because you were a designer or you were an engineer or you were married and had children. That's not who he knew. He knew you as who he made you to be. That you would live from that place. I live out my work environment through the identity I have in Christ. I'm not doing my work so that I might have identity in Christ. Does it make sense? I think so often we do things to understand who we are. But it's out of the place of knowing who I am that I can do things without being fearful, without being insecure about what God said about me. I want to end off with a scripture and then I want us to pray. Because I do believe God wants to free people today from a certain way of thinking. And maybe it has become a stronghold in your mind. And it's something you'll know because it's something that just reoccurs in your life. And over you find yourself feeling that way. Feeling deflated, hopeless, or just despondent. Maybe it's for you depression. That you found yourself constantly falling into a place of depression. That's not the Lord. That's the enemy. And if we start to entertain those things, we're actually aligning ourselves with the enemy and not with God. And that's where God said to me, you believe the enemy more than you believe me. And maybe there's some with me this morning that need to repent before the Lord. I want to finish off with a scripture in Proverbs. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. I want to tell you, every time you want to try and change that way of thinking, your understanding is going to tell you, but you failed in this, you failed in that, you failed in this, and you can't do this, and you can't do that. There's truth in it. It's true. I don't have the ability to do this or that or whatever. But the truth is that God says, you're my son. I'm well pleased with you. I've shaped you and made you and molded you into something that I want you to be. So do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I promise you that when you come to the Lord and you start to shift in the way that you think, and God heals you from insecurities, fears, there's no such thing, there's no other thing that compares to that freedom. That I'm completely secure that if you think this preach was good or not, please don't come afterwards and say, Yaku, that was amazing, you know. Don't, you don't have to do that. No, sorry. What was I saying now? Now I distracted my own self. That I'm not secure, I'm not insecure about if you think this is a good preach or not. But I can go, Lord, you've asked me to do this, and through what I felt you said to me today, I know you want to touch people. I know you want to do something. And even today, as we make a call to say, let's pray that the Lord would shift in you those things that you so have familiarized yourself about yourself. And it's very easy because when you just say like David, Lord, search my heart. Is there anything in me that offends you? A way of thinking, not just externally, but internally. Is there a way that I think of myself that offends you? And I believe that as we do these things and we come to the Lord and say, Lord, would you come and change the way I think? Because I think we're not very honest with the Lord. I think sometimes we just graze over these things. We don't go there with him and give him time to actually speak into that place. We're very rushed with those things. Or we just think that's not for now. I want to just quickly, just to give an example. Sorry, I don't have this on the screen, but you're going to have to believe me. This is scripture, I promise. I want to read a few statements, scriptures, where people in the Bible exposed what they felt in their hearts towards the Lord. And they were very raw about it. Because I think we grew up in a generation maybe where we don't share these things with the Lord. We're very reserved in how we speak and how we open our hearts to what we actually really feel. David, in Psalm 13, that's 1-2, he said, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? I'm not going to call all the scriptures, but I'm just going to read some of them so you get an idea of what these people went through. My God, why have you forsaken me? That was David still. Job, why did I not perish at birth? Does it please you to oppress me? Job said this to God. Does it please you to oppress me? Jeremiah, this is a heavy one. He says, you deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. I'm ridiculed all day long. Why is my pain unending? Will you be to me like a deceptive brook? That's feelings we don't talk about, right? I don't know if you've had some of those. I think so often we've got those feelings, but we just suppress them. Elijah, I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Habakkuk, How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Who's asked the Lord something over and over and over, and you got to a place where you're like, how long must I still ask? How long will it be till you listen? And so often, in many of these guys' prayers, and there's many more, the Bible's full of it, where they said either, Lord, I'd rather just be dead. What is that called? It's depression. You get to such a deep pit that you don't know a way out, that you'd say, Lord, rather just take my life. Just end it now. It's easier. But those thoughts, it's not from God, right? But it's something that's very real to us because we feel sometimes that way. Lord, I've asked these things so many times, but I don't see breakthrough. Lord, I ask that you change my heart, but I don't see breakthrough. And sometimes we suppress these feelings and we don't really expose our hearts to the Lord so that he can come and speak new truth into us. And I think of the disciples in the boat when they said to Jesus when they woke him up, right? They were busy drowning while the boat was still sinking. He said, do you not care that we are perishing? And he calmed the storm and he said, oh, you of little faith. And sometimes when we expose our hearts before God, it's a vulnerable place, but then God must come in and change the way we think. And I really trust that this morning, God would come in and change your heart. Change the way that you see yourself. The way that God sees you will replace the lie from the enemy. And I want to, can I do a call? I want us to just close our eyes for a moment. I want to ask some of us to respond this morning. Maybe this morning as I was speaking, you can recognize immediately the lie that's been spoken to you throughout your life. Something that the enemy has been over and over and over invested in your life through situations, through disappointments, whatever it might be. And I want you to think, and if you don't have something, I want you to ask, like David asked, Lord, search my heart. Is there anything in me that offends you? And just as it comes into your mind right now, I want you to respond before the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to come and change the way I think. And so I want to ask you, even if it's all of us, I want you to stand before the Lord and just say, Lord, that's me. I want you to change the way I think. This is, don't stand up if everyone's standing up. You stand up because there's something that God wants to change in you in the way that you think. Or just even feel. Father, I thank you that this morning we know that you're a God that loves. And your word says that you knew us before we were even shaped in our mother's wombs. You knew who you made us. And so, Father, we bring before you this morning this lie. And I want you to bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, this is the lie that I have believed. This is what I feel. I feel like you've missed me. You've overlooked me. You've disappointed me, maybe. I want you to be raw with the Lord and just confess those things before the Lord. And I'm going to give a moment and then I'll pray for us again. Just confess before the Lord, this is what I feel. This is what I think.
And even while we remain in this moment of confessing, this is the truth. Whether you're not saying it to the Lord or not, it is the truth. So there's no help in suppressing it. Because God knows your heart. But he wants to give you the opportunity to take ownership of the choices you've made. Because ultimately, yes, there are two voices speaking to you. But we have free will. And the devil can't control you. He can only make suggestions and influence you. And so if you've given into that lie, you need to recognize and take ownership of the fact that you made that choice. And so maybe even as we're staying in this heart posture of confessing, say, Lord, I take ownership of the choice that you've given me. This is what I have chosen up until this moment. But from today onwards, I am choosing to believe your truth. So maybe even if you just want to say after me, Lord Jesus, I confess today, I have chosen to believe a lie. I have chosen to believe that, and then you can say whatever it is that you specifically believe. So I've chosen to believe. Lord Jesus, please forgive me for believing a lie. Today I make a choice to believe the truth of what you speak over my life. Help me by your Spirit to recognize the lies that I give into and to daily take them captive and choose your truth above anything else. Amen.
Just stay in that moment. Don't go away. There's something important that needs to happen when we confess these things before the Lord. Part of it is what we did now, is to confess, Lord, I believe a certain way and I choose to believe your word. But unless you've heard what God says about you, it's difficult to believe what he said if he hasn't spoken to you. So I want to just for a moment, I just want you to do this, and I'm really trusting that the Lord would speak to you. I want you to, after you said what you said, I want you to just for a moment open your arms as you're going to receive something. And I want you to close your eyes and just say, Lord, would you come and speak to me what you believe? And just wait on him until he speaks. And then if I can challenge you a little bit further, I want you in this moment to grab something, someone that you know next to you. Hopefully you know the person more or less next to you. Men with men, women with women. I just want you to say to that person. See, there's something where he says, confess your sins one to another. And I know it's not a sin that you're confessing. It's just the way of believing, which is a false belief system. But I want you to just share with that person, I believe this thing, but God said to me now, share what you felt. And then I want you to just pray for one another. That you would pray that that person would believe the statement that God made, or the truth of God, and that he would deny the lie that the enemy has been speaking to him. Can we do that? Is that all right? I just want you to turn to someone next to you and just say what you felt, and then pray for one another.
So I have, you know, this exchange that we're talking about, the exchange from truth to lie, from a lie that we're believing to the truth, can only happen if we're in Christ. Yaku's speaking about this new creation that we are. But maybe you've not yet come to the place where you've actually been found in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And so maybe today you're standing here and you are desperate for these lies also to be exchanged. But you're not getting breakthrough because you've not yet given your life to the Lord. You've not yet been in Christ, actually. And so if that's you today, we'd love to pray with you to make sure that you are found in Christ. So if there's a space in your mind where you are doubting whether you are actually saved, whether you have really given your life to the Lord, whether you can be found in Christ, won't you just come afterwards and come pray with us? We'd love to make sure with you so that you can receive that assurance as you are in Christ. And then maybe as we are closing off, if you want to continue to pray, continue to pray. There's a couple of confirmations as well that, you know, we are looking to the facts of the circumstances, but we believe in the truth of God. And so there's a lot of scripture that says that in Christ we will be healed. And so maybe today you're trusting for a breakthrough in physical healing. Or like me, you're struggling tremendously with your sinuses. And I'm really trusting that these are the facts, but Lord, you say I can be healed. So I'm standing here already. I'm going to expect someone to come pray for me, please. But maybe you need prayer for healing as well in something in your life. Maybe as everybody departs and grabs a coffee, let's just stay in this moment that we recognize that God wants to replace lies with truth. And that today He also wants us to see Him as the healer. So if you need healing in any physical aspect of life, won't you come forward, then we can pray with you. And then we're going to close the service here. So continue where you are, and if you need prayer, come forward.
You don't have to walk this out alone. If you're local, come and join us in person. We'd love to meet you, or reach out to us online and let us know how we can be praying for you.